The Arab Spring has changed the political landscape across North Africa and the Middle East. Islamist parties, often suppressed under autocratic leaders, have gained ground in Tunisia. They're also expected to do well in Egypt and in Libya. As NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports, that trend has forced the U.S. to rethink how it deals with such movements.
The U.S. was once able to keep Islamist groups at arm's length, but all that's changing now. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton recently described how the U.S. is readjusting.
What parties call themselves is less important to us than what they actually do.
And Clinton is making clear the U.S. will engage with parties that play by democratic rules of the game. She spoke about this recently to the National Democratic Institute.
Now, reasonable people can disagree on a lot, but there are things that all parties, religious and secular, must get right. Not just for us to trust them, but most importantly for the people of the region and of the countries themselves to trust them to protect their hard-won rights.
Clinton is urging parties in the region to reject violence, respect free speech and the rights of women, minorities, and other religious groups. Nobody, she says, wants another Iran. Fawaz Jerjes, a professor of Middle Eastern politics at the London School of Economics and Political Science, says the U.S. has come to realize that, like it or not, Islamist parties represent a pivotal force in the region.
The shift in American foreign policy is a shift by necessity, as opposed to a shift by choice.
Islamist parties have always been part of the social fabric of the region, Jerjes says, but they were hibernating under the surface until the Arab uprisings toppled autocratic rulers in Tunisia, Egypt, and Libya.
Take the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is more than 80 years old. It has survived very brutal efforts at its suppression. And this tells you a great deal about the resilience of the Muslim Brotherhood and how deeply entrenched, not just in Egypt, but in several Arab countries, including Tunisia and Jordan and Syria and Libya and other places as well.
The Arab uprisings cracked wide open political space for these parties, says Mona Yacoubian, a Middle East expert at the Stimson Center.
You know, at the end of the day, these groups are going to engage in these political systems as they're opening up with or without us. And so the question really becomes, how can we help to hopefully influence their evolution in a moderate direction?
The Obama administration has said it will work with the Ennahda Party, which won elections in Tunisia recently. In neighboring Algeria 20 years ago, another Islamist party was poised to win parliamentary elections when the military-backed Algerian government clamped down, a move the U.S. failed to criticize.
And then what we saw happen, the repression of a moderate Islamist party, leading to essentially a civil war, the eclipsing of moderates in the Islamist movement and the rise of Islamic radicalism in that country is, I think, a cautionary tale for why we don't want to go back down that road again.
Besides, she argues, the U.S. will gain better insight into the region if it can interact with Islamist movements. A former State Department official, Ron Schlicker, told the Middle East Institute that he thinks the Obama administration is taking a prudent approach by talking to everybody.
I very much hope that in the new regional atmosphere that Islamist movements can move in moderate directions. But it's not at all clear that that's going to happen. I think we should try to encourage it, and dialogue is one way to encourage it. But we just don't know yet.
And he says the U.S. will have trouble dealing with these political actors if they don't follow through on promises to respect basic rights. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.